Justin, thanks for responding, my dear.
Just waiting on the chairperson.
Yeah, go ahead, Gunjan.
Right, Gunja.
You're right, good. You're right, man.
Look what the pants.
I go. I just think that after meeting.
Hey.
Okay.
Right, madam. Wait.
Right, right, Kapoor.
Okay.
Asibingelele sihlalo. Sikhuleke kumntana enkosi lapha eNyambozi. Nyambozi niziphathe kahle base kufika inkatha, nikhuleke.
Yo, savelelwa ke madodhe. Yo. Yayibona
le khama khosi ngekomi.
Besunga
la khama khosi ne. Ngiletha amakhosi akwaZulu nesilo ukuthi ngizonigathi silenzani la.
Asuke maphe.
Nyambozi, ngiyakhuleka Dingiswayo.
Hawe, mokelekile nkokheli.
Siyaphila kodwa bahlonishwa.
Siyaphila kakhulu.
Funa ngibuye nginethusa ngoba silo sinye la eNingizimu Afrika.
Yeah, hayi lapho-ke sihamba sindawonye. Siyazi ngiyazi.
Futhi umbuso wakwaZulu wakhiwa yini bathethe?
Manje asikwazi-ke kucekela phansi.
Ka impela mani ngenza njalo singasheshe sithole indlela yokubuhlasela ubukhosi uma kujikaneni abathetha.
Hayi so nine ake sibone uChef uthi.
Good morning, honorable members.
Morning, Chef.
Morning, On Mendes, I think I just want to go through in terms of whose presence we have Honorable Tetsa, Honorable Tetzer, Honorable Mkosi, Honorable Mikalakis, Honorable Seleku, Honorable Mwezi. Okay, and I think Honorable Bedobu is struggling to log on. And Honorable Bartlett as well will join the meeting. I think she's sitting in a chief of forum, which she's supposed to start logging onto this meeting. But I think for the purposes of now, we perhaps have sufficient members to continue. Okay, and then in terms of we have the parliamentary legal advisor.
Chairperson, I'm also here.
Oh, Zandamela. Honorable. Okay. I didn't pick your name up. I'm going through this list, Honorable. Okay, no, I see that. I think of your name is after the name of your phone. Apologies for that, Honorable Zandamela. As I was saying, we have the parliamentary legal advisor. We have a representative from the Office of the State Law Advisor. I think she's present. Yes, and okay, and Mr. Mamabolo from the IEC is also present. Let me just take this opportunity to welcome all honorable members to this meeting. And obviously a special welcome to Honorable Ngwezi. I hope I'm pronouncing your surname right in Ngwezi, but maybe it'll be nice to see you. If you don't mind to put on your camera and to greet us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks for welcoming me.
Thank you. Honourable members, that is Honourable Ngwezi. Honourable Ngwezi, I think you'll get to know members of the committee as today's proceedings continue. It's unfortunate that we can't meet you physically, but I'm sure the time for that will happen in due course. But still very welcome. This is the Select Committee on Security and Justice. I'm the chairperson. My name is Shirley Sheikh. The members, like yourself, also come from various provinces, and I'm sure you'll also get to know that information in detail. But feel very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our members, let me also welcome the CEO of the IEC and other officials who might be present. When I say Honorable Nita, you're welcome as well. Okay. And obviously the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and the representative from the Office of the City Legal Advisor. Remember, in terms of our last meeting, we deliberated on the presentations made by the IEC in response to comments by stakeholders. We particularly dealt with amendments to Clause 8 and Clause 20. Amendments to Clause 8 essentially dealt with competing rights in terms of the protection of personal information, in terms of safeguarding the personal information of voters, while ensuring that there's added access to information as well. So we tasked the Parliamentary Legal Advisor together with the State Law Advisor to finalize the proposed amendments to the Electoral Amendment Bill. Members would have been sent the proposed amendments as well as the draft committee report. However, it did come to my attention late yesterday as well that from our Parliamentary Legal Advisor that they had further discussions and they were trying to, their further final amendments that were sent, unfortunately, to members this morning. But be that as it may, honourable members, I'm going to call upon our Parliamentary Legal Advisor, Ms. Suan Isaac, to take members through the proposed amendments, and I think she'll talk to the final document as well. Ms. Isaac?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the Chairperson, members and guests. I'm going to ask Gershwin to just project the document so we can all have a look at the same document. Gershwin, is it the one that I sent you this morning?
Hi, Suan. Yes, it is.
Could you just check the one that I sent you has red track changes in them?
Good morning, Chairperson.
Question while you're sorting that out, I see Honorable Dengler is with us as well as Honorable Bartlett. Question, if you could rename the Galaxy Tab S5E,
yeah.
That's Honorable Bartlett, when you do get a chance. But welcome to the other members.
Yeah, Chairperson, I may have to leave at 11:30 again. We have transport.
No problem, Honorable Dengler, but welcome.
I've spoken to programming. This programming of WIPS meetings together with security meetings and transport meetings at the same time is indeed a challenge.
We feel for you, Honorable Dengel.
Thank you.
But I hope it gets resolved.
Chairperson, the document is now the correct one. Can I proceed?
Please proceed.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as you indicated, we had sent a list of the proposals to members, but between the last 2 days, between the IEC, the State Law Advisor, and myself, there were further discussions, and the IEC has just raised two concerns about the proposed amendments, and I will just indicate what their concerns are and how we try to accommodate that. So, Chairperson, on the first document, we had initially suggested that we include a definition for independent candidates. In Clause 8, there's intention to insert the phrase independent candidates in light of the Constitutional Court's judgment. However, on subsequent consideration and after discussions with the IEC, it was suggested that we don't at this stage include a definition for independent candidates. This definition we have relates to the local government level, and the deliberations regarding national and provincial level are still ongoing. So the suggestion is that we remove this definition and leave independent candidates undefined until such time as a parliament finishes its processes. Chairperson, I can go on to the next proposal, which is that is dealing with clause 8, which is to amend section 16 of the Electoral Act. And this is the clause that we discussed in the main last week, which deals with access to information. So initially, the clause suggested that the chief electoral officer must be satisfied that there are three requirements we met prior to the information is being given, and this is to bring it in line with the POPI legislation. We've just refined the amendment in terms of wording. It's still the same intention. It's just that we tried to redraft it in a simpler way. And if we can just look at the proposed version below that, Gershwin. So the proposed version will now just read, the chief electoral officer must provide a certified copy or extract from the segment of the voter's roll as it exists at the time to any person who has paid the prescribed fee, if the chief electoral officer is satisfied that the person requires the information, one, to monitor the accuracy of the information in the voter's roll, two, for statistical or research purposes, or three, any other purpose that is prescribed, and providing that information will not involve the unlawful processing of personal information in terms of the Protection of Personal Information Act. Chairperson, you can see that I've highlighted something in green. So one of the other issues that the IEC raised was that they were just concerned with the phrasing of Roman numeral 1. They were just concerned that to state that the person requires the information to monitor the accuracy of the information in the voter's roll may lead to different interpretations. They are of the view that this may just give the person the idea that they can still contest the accuracy of the voter's roll even when the dates for objections are closed. So we did take into consideration their concern, and as they are going to be the people implementing the legislation, we thought of a way to accommodate them. And the portion that is highlighted in green is what we propose. So instead of saying to monitor the accuracy of the information in the voter's roll, we will say to monitor the voter's roll for election purposes. So that is just to remove any doubt that this is not a further method that anyone can use to object. Objections are still done in terms of Section 15 of the Electoral Act. So we're hoping that will assist in removing any confusion as to the meaning of that sub-clause. Chairperson, if we can move to the next clause. So this is the insertion of the offence where a person uses the information, clause 2A. If the person uses the information for any purpose other than listed, so again, we just reworded it. Instead of using the term a certified copy of or extract from the statement of the voter's roll, we are now just referring to that as a collective information. So we now state, any person who uses the information obtained under subsection 2 for a purpose other than specified in that section is guilty of an offense and is liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year, or both a fine and such imprisonment. So those were just basically drafting corrections or changes. The next amendment is to subclause 3. You can just go to the proposed version. So Chairperson, here is, this is a clause that the intention is to insert the word independent candidates. When we looked at the clause, we realized that the current wording of the Act refers to registered political parties. However, the Act defines only registered parties. So for sake of consistency, we think it's best to use what is defined. A registered party is a political party that is registered with the IEC. But it's not. We shouldn't be using these phrases interchangeably. We would stick to the defined version. So the new section will still include independent candidates, but we now just use the correct defined phrase. So the subclause 3 will now read, notwithstanding subsection 2, the chief electoral officer must, on payment of a prescribed fee, provide copies of the voter's roll or a segment thereof, which includes the addresses of voters, where such addresses are available, to a registered party and an independent candidate contesting the elections. If we go to subclause 4, please. Again, Chairperson, this is basic drafting, just redrafting it to make it simpler. Again, instead of referring to the voters' roll with addresses, we refer to use the phrase the information. So subclause 4 deals with access of the voters' roll to political parties and now independent candidates. We again, instead of here, they use the term political parties, and then we will carry over from subclause 3 the word registered party. So subclause 4 will read, the information obtained in subclause 3 may only be used by a registered party and an independent candidate for election purposes, and any further such information, and any person using such information for other purposes is guilty of an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year, or both a fine and such imprisonment. We can move on to subclause 5. The chairperson, this subclause dealt with the reduction of the identity numbers, and this was the clause that was contentious because we needed to align it with POPI while balancing the rights to access the information. So originally the clause said that the ID number must be redacted and only the 6 digits should be given that indicates the voter's birthday. But in the previous meeting, the department had suggested to the minister that we also include details of the citizenship. So that will make it easier to verify if the person is eligible to vote as well. So in light of that suggestion, this is the clause that we are now proposing. Also, instead of stating in the negative that you may not give the ID number, we now indicate what must be given, and it's now stated in the positive. So if we can just go up a little bit to clause 5, the proposed version, it will now read, for the purposes of subsection 2 and 3, the electoral officer may only provide the digits of the identity number of voters, which indicates the voter's date of birth and citizenship, except where the person who requires the information satisfies the chief electoral officer that A, exceptional circumstances require that its additional digits of the voter's identity number be disclosed, and B, providing that information would not involve the unlawful processing of personal information in terms of the Protection of Personal Information Act 2013. Just another point on subclause 5A, instead of saying the full identity number, we had said additional digits. So the IEC CEO will be able to release only that additional digits that are necessary to differentiate maybe between two voters with the same name, and where it is necessary, the full identity number will be released, but where it's not, then maybe one or two digits can differentiate, and that will be done there. And our reasoning for that is that in POPI, the one of the major principles is that you must release the principle of minimality, where personal information must be protected and only what is necessary must be further processed. And Chairperson, if we can go to the next one, that is dealing with clause 20, and that is the amendment section 47 of the Local Government Electoral Act. We did not make any further changes to what was proposed to the by the IEC in the last meeting. This was to accommodate the concern, the IEC's proposal was to accommodate the concern by, I think it was the city of Cape Town, where the different voting methods must not be different from that that is already contained in the Act. So the proposal by the IEC does adequately cover the concern of the city of Cape Town. So clause 7 will still be an amendment proposed by this committee and will read as follows. The commission may prescribe a different voting procedure which must accord with the provisions of this section for those voters whose names appear on the voters roll without addresses, provided that if such voters place of ordinary residence is located outside the relevant A ward in which the segment of the voters roll and voter's name appears, the voter concerned may not vote in the ward elections contemplated in section 22.1b of the Local Government Municipal Structures Act 1998, Act Number 117 of 1998. B, local or metropolitan municipality on whose segment of the voter's roll that voter's name appears, the voter concerned may not vote in the elections contemplated in section 22.1a or the ward election contemplated in section 22.1b of the Local Government Municipal Structures Act 1998, Act Number 117 of 1998. And C, district municipality on whose segment of the voter's roll the voter's name appears, the voter concerned may not vote in the election for members of the district contemplated in section 23.1a of the Local Government Municipal Structures Act 1998. Act Number 117 of 1998. Chairperson, those are the amendments that were proposed or discussed in last week's committee meeting, and we've tried to capture the instructions of the committee and the discussion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Can I get an indication from the state law advisor if she wishes to add anything, Ms. Naido?
Good morning, Chair.
Yes,
Lisa Naido. Good morning, Chair and colleagues. Just to add a little bit more information regarding why we removed the definition of independent candidates. The history behind it is obviously the Constitutional Court case that ruled that to not include individuals who are not affiliated with a political party to contest elections made the Electoral Laws Act unconstitutional. So from there, these amendments to the other sections that together with registered political parties, we added an independent candidate. But when the issue of a definition for independent candidates came up, and the IEC obviously being line function and best suited to define this, it posed a problem because there needs to be further policy formulation and consultation around a precise definition. But for now, the way it's done, we decided that we will exclude at this juncture a definition for independent candidates, and later on it can come through after proper consultation and policy formulation. And the concern that the IEC raised with Section 16, initially Section 16.2 was omitted. We needed to align Section 16 overall with the Protection of Personal Information Act and Access to Information. The concern of the IEC, as indicated by Suan, is that it provides now another category for objections. The way it was previously, Section 15 and 16 are read even though all sections should be read together, but section 15 is very specific. It deals with objections. Section 16 deals with access to information. And from the side of the state law advisor, when we interpret this, there is really no clash. There is no overlap of intentions where 16 is bringing in a new category for objections. So the way it is done now is fine. And as indicated by Suan, we've omitted reference to monitor the accuracy and rather left it to monitor the voter's role. And the IEC seems to have accepted that. But from our side, from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, we see no real new category, because that would be inserted under 15 objections and how that process should play out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Naidu. Honourable members, that is the presentation. I see Honourable Bidova has also joined us. Welcome. Are there any questions that members would like to raise? I see two hands. Great. Honourable Chetra, and then Honourable Mikolati will follow. Honourable Chetra.
Yes, Chair. I did not understand this issue. What was the intention of the word accuracy? What was behind that accuracy that you meant before? Before it now, I can see it's being removed. And how do you think it would have caused a problem in the act? That's the first one, Chair. And the last one, isn't it election based on political? Is it not political? Why do you have to remove political parties? Because political parties, even though candidates are independent, but they are contesting a space of politics. I don't understand the totally removing of that political party. I'm not sure on the section, because it's in the same gadget that I am using. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mkepa. Honourable Mikolaki.
Thank you, Chair. There's still one part of the bill that does not sit very well with me, and I'm going to focus just on that for you. And I want to give you my argument. I think we should, as a committee, actually have time to discuss this properly. I think we still have some time for the bill. But, Chair, I don't think, and I'm specifically referring to the disclosure or non-disclosure of the full ID number, I don't think we as a committee have stopped to ask ourselves what it is that we want to achieve through this clause. If it is to safeguard personal information, I have serious doubts whether this clause actually achieves that purpose the best that we can possibly do. There is, for example, no indication what happens to a person's information that's provided to a station captain of the IEC on local level after the elections. How do they dispose of that full printed out voter's roll after the elections? The information can get stolen over there. It's also much more likely that hackers will hack the Department of Home Affairs or the IEC, who both have the full voter's roll. So in both instances, this clause does not address that. So the problem does not go away. We heard last week from the minister himself that every single digit of the ID number is important to verify the eligibility of a voter and his identity. So the principle of minimality becomes impossible to apply fairly, because every single digit is important. The minister himself answered that. So this clause, in my opinion, will cast serious doubts on free and fair elections. Chair, I think our focus is wrong. We are focusing on concealing information that is needed for free and fair elections. What we should rather be focusing on is regulating the way in which all of these entities, political parties, independent candidates, the IEC, Home Affairs, all of them go about responsibly in such a way with the information that it will not pose a risk to the public. I think rather than this clause, we should ask ourselves how we can better ensure that the entities who get the information acts with that information in a responsible way. We need to ask ourselves if this is the best way to achieve what it is that we seek to achieve. And I personally think that we can do better, Chair. In light of that, Chairperson, I would like to ask that we be afforded as the committee a chance to actually debate some of these issues because we still have time to process the bill. And I also think that the proposal was, I believe, that we consider the bill today for adoption. But in light of the fact that we also just received the most recent version this morning, that we perhaps hold off for a little bit on that instead of doing it today, so that we can at least have some proper time to consider and apply our minds to the latest version. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable
Mikalati. Honourable Pulego. Good morning, Chair. Good morning to Honourable Members. Chair, the majority of points has been covered by my colleague, Honourable Mikalakis. But what I would like to know, Chair, I would like the IEC just to elaborate on what they deem as exceptional circumstances where the full ID would be disclosed. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Mwezi.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and greetings to all Honourable Members and the CEO of the IEC. Chair, I'm attending here for the first time. But I would like to be assisted, Chair. Somewhere in the presentation, I've forgotten what clause is that, but where it mentions the issue of the voters' role being given to political parties or rather and independent candidates, just only. And, you know, I've got a view that you know, the public has got too much interest in the running of the elections in this country. For instance, your civic organizations. I know that, for instance, they might not have registered for elections, for example, SANCO and any other, you see, Red Payers Association. They may want to call to comment, and you know, my feeling is that maybe somewhere we need to put a clause, because anyway, you know, any institution in the country cannot refuse with information. I don't think that is constitutional, but maybe if we leave, you know, other interest groups, you know. I don't know, Chair. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. And I want to raise a matter also to say that I'm not sure whether in this bill, you know, the issue of voters illegally crossing the borders a day before or during the day to come and vote and go back to the country where they stay. For instance, in the areas of KwaZulu-Natal, next to the borders, your Pongola, Ingwavuma, Mhlabuyalingana, your Mpumalanga area, those areas, because I think that maybe it's time that we address such things, you know, because we may have everything, you know, people have got double citizenship, and I don't think Home Affairs have finished actually addressing that. I know there are attempts by the SADC region to address that, but I don't think they finished doing that. Thank you very much, Chair. Otherwise, I'm very happy for some of the amendments that are here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Amungwe. There's Honourable Zandamela. Honourable Zandamela.
No, thanks, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. No, Chair. Ahmed. That was raised in the presentation. Exceptional circumstances. Well, what can they please maybe explain the exceptional circumstances where they will send the full details of the IDs? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Zandamela.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Dodogo, your hand was up. Are you? And then I think you got off the platform and you joined again. Honorable Dodogo?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
My question, I'm mostly covered by most of the questions.
Honorable Dodogo?
Hello?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, my question is in respect of the linkage between this amendment with the amendment that we made in respect of the Municipal Structures Act last year. There was a lot of engagement with the IEC in that respect. Are they compatible? Are they okay in that respect? I'm not covered by most of the persons here. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Butler?
Yes, I will not repeat what the other members have said, just to say that we will accept this bill was the recommendation, but because we discussed already, but then Honorable China already covered it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Honorable members, I think in terms of our deliberation last week, we did cover some aspects of what was raised. However, I think that just to maybe enlighten the committee further on certain matters that have been raised today, I'm going to ask the IEC to perhaps touch on some of these matters, especially also elaborate on the issue of exceptional circumstances. Honorable Mikolati's issues, I think we dealt with that quite a lot in the last meeting, and it related largely to the Protection of Personal Information Act, enhanced the redaction of such information. But let me allow the Mr. Mamabolo from the IEC perhaps to respond to some of the questions even asked by Honorable Dodogo and Honorable Ngwezi. Mr. Mamabolo.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson, and greetings to members of the committee, our colleagues in the Parliamentary Legal Service and the State Law Advisor. I'm joined here by Mr. Shibori, so does the delegation from our side. Chair, at the outset, we want to be categorical that the redrafting that has been done by the Parliamentary Legal Service in conjunction with the state law advisors, we support. We think the redrafting will give the bill a greater clarity than the version that we had put previously. Now, coming to the questions on the table, the question of political parties and registered parties is only to ensure consistency between the definitions as well as the body of the Act. So what the Parliamentary Legal Service have done is to use wording which is defined in the Act and not introduce concepts that are not defined in the Act. So the removal of political party substituted by a registered party is to achieve that. Use concepts that are defined, that helps with the reading of the bill. So it's a usability, it improves the usability, readability of the bill. That's really what is being done here. So political parties remain a cornerstone of the participatory process in elections. political parties are not being removed. We are just aligning for better readability of the act. Now, the issue related to accuracy is linked to the purpose for Section 16. Section 16 is intended to give to various categories of people and institutions copies of the voter's roll, which is why its heading says publication of the voter's roll. So that is a voter's roll that has already been certified and people are entitled to it in terms of the provisions that then follow. Section 16 is therefore not intended to introduce a new class of objections. Excuse me. Section 16 is therefore not intended to introduce a new class of objections. Its purpose is to provide copies of voters' rolls to certain categories of electoral stakeholders. There's a question that came regarding that everybody is interested in election and therefore entitled the copy of the voters' roll. Indeed, that's what this Section 16.2 is doing, but link that to a purpose. And that purpose is clarified under Section 2, Roman Figure 1 to Roman Figure 3. It acknowledges that everybody is entitled that information for as long as they fulfill the purposes that are defined in the bill. So it's not merely for political parties. Section 16.2 deals with everybody else. Section 16.3, political parties, and so on. So that's what this thing is about. Now, Chair, in saying that Section 16 in its totality is not intended to deal with objections, it does not mean there is no framework for objections. There is a framework for objections, which is in Section 15. So anybody who believes that there are inaccuracies or irregularities or persons should not be on certain segments of the voter's roll, they are not without a mechanism to vindicate that. That mechanism is available and is extant in Section 15 of the Act. Now, the issue of Section 16.5, the reduction of certain components or digits of the ID number. Here is the reasoning. You need a voter's roll to check whether people who are on the roll are qualified to vote. And there are two broad constitutional qualifications. The first qualification is the age qualification. You've got to be 18 years or older to be able to cast a vote. So you need that information to check that. The second constitutional qualification is that you've got to be a citizen of the Republic. So you need information that enables you to verify that fact. And Section 16.5, as currently proposed, addresses precisely that. You do not need further information to make those determinations. You don't need whether a person is female, what is their sequential number on the day on which they were born, when they were raised. That information is irrelevant for electoral purposes. Because the Constitution says you've got to be 18 years, so we need to enable you to make that verification. You've got to be a citizen, we avail information to help you with that verification. But Parliament also has got to have laws that are not contradictory. In Popia, this Parliament has already said there are principles against which an assessment must be made by the responsible party, whether the disclosure of personal information accords with certain principles. One of those principles is minimality, and that is defined in Section 10 of POPIA, that give information to the extent that it is necessary for the purpose for which it is intended. Now, the purpose here is clear. It's a constitutional verification, or rather a verification of constitutional factors, age and citizenship. And we will, on the current formulation of Section 16.5, we will provide that which is necessary and minimal to enable you to make a determination whether people are qualified to be on the voter's roll. Chair, in terms of the disposal procedures, material that is used at the voting station, including used ballot papers, unused ballot papers, the voter's roll used at the voting station, has got to be packed and stored for 6 months in law. And after 6 months of storage, the commission has to take a purposeful decision to dispose that material. And we normally have a very well-defined process of disposal of those ballots, voters' rolls, and all other material that is used at the voting station. We don't throw it in a bin. There's a very meticulous procedure that we undertake to dispose of the used material at the voting station, including used voters' rolls. Now, if perhaps, let's assume there are 23,000 voting stations in the country. If, for instance, there's an aberration at the instance of one presiding officer, they don't handle the material properly, and they don't return it back to the warehouse as they should. That cannot be reason to legislate in a manner that then is an affront to the disclosure of personal information of voters. We deal with that aberration on its own merits and ensure that the officer concerned faces due processes in the IC. But that is not a basis to make a law of general application. Now, the hackers. Indeed, Chair and members of the committee, hackers are active all the time. They are working to penetrate the systems of corporate, public institutions, and so on. It is our responsibility as the responsible party in terms of OPIA to ensure that we take reasonable measures to protect our IT environment. For that reason, we continuously update our security tools on our network. And ahead of elections, we fortify those, we do relevant security audits of the network, and so on and so on and so on. So there are a series of measures that we implement to protect the security of the network and therefore the information that we are processing with details of voters. Now, we will continue to do that to protect that information in that way. So because it's a positive duty we have to do this. But the potential for hacking, again, cannot be risen to legislate in a manner that creates a dispensation for the wanton disclosure of personal information of voters. Now, what are exceptional circumstances in terms of Section 16.5? The exceptional circumstances will be varied and will depend on the peculiarities of each case. But just to give you two, one I've already mentioned in the committee last week, that where there are people with the same names, common names, born on the same day, in such an instance, it might be an exceptional situation requiring the disclosure of additional digits. But in a particular VD or ward or a combination of wards, there may be allegations of fraud and so on. So in order to investigate the alleged fraud, if there's a prima facie case of fraud and so on, it might be, in that instance, a situation that calls for the disclosure of additional digits to enable a proper investigation to happen. But again, it's a peculiarity, it's a circumstance that is dependent on each set of merits and so on. So those could be other exceptional circumstances. But there may be many because they are unforeseeable. One cannot sit here and foresee all possibilities. There may be instances where there's prima facie evidence of wrongdoing, but in order to unearth the wrongdoing and investigate it proper, there may be a need in that instance to disclose additional digits of the ID to assist people to make proper objections in terms of Section 15. Now, yes, indeed, Member Todovu, the amendments in the Structures Act and these amendments that are before the committee, there are no tensions. They are, in fact, part of the preparation program for the elections, which are due later this year. So they are aligned and there is no discord between the two pieces of legislation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Mamabolo. If I can get an indication from the state law advisor, if there's anything she would like to add.
Thank you, Chair. Just to expand on the wording exceptional circumstances, you would usually find it in our justice legislation with offences. But in this regard, as the Commissioner explained, the intention is for the chief electoral officer, who is best placed as line function in dealing with the elections, to determine what is exceptional circumstances. So when he does this, he's going to exercise a value judgment after considering the applicant's reasoning. So it will be done on a case-by-case basis, similar to what's been done in the courts. And that is why we didn't give an exhaustive list of what will amount to exceptional circumstances in the instance. And we left it open to the electoral, to the chief electoral officer to determine this. Thank you, Chair. Nothing further.
Thank you. I think it will also deal with unforeseen circumstances as well. Suan, Ms. Isaac.
So, question. I think all the responses covered the questions. Just with regarding to POPI, I mean, just to emphasize that it is legislation that was passed by Parliament, and it creates an entirely new framework of looking at information and personal information. So, going forward, all legislation now will have to have a view of that and finding the balance between access to information and you know, protecting personal information is something that we have to struggle with. But year previously, there was a complete reduction of all the identity details. And here we're trying to find that balance. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Isaac. Okay, on members, I think we've received clarity on the matters that you've raised. And I think even on the issue that Honorable Michalakis raised as well. We've discussed it in the previous meeting, and in actual fact, the information that came through again was also said in that meeting. But clearly, in terms of the constitutional qualifications around eligibility to vote, we're addressing it in the amendments to this piece of legislation. And I think we can't but agree that we have the POPI legislation, which we cannot just ignore. And there is a need to align this piece of legislation to that. And obviously, as we've been discussing in the entire meeting last week as well, we had to deal with the balancing act between protection of personal information and access to information. Okay, Honorable Gwezi, I see your hand is still up. Do you have a follow-up or are you okay? Because I don't think you put your hand down.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chair. I'll lower it. Thank you.
Honorable Dodobo, your hand was up. Are you still with us? Honorable Dodobo? Okay. Okay, I see. Yes, Honorable... yes, I can hear you.
Yes, Chair. Yes, I'm staying with the presentation made today in respect of the amendments, the explanation given by Mr. Mamabolo in respect of all the matters which were raised, especially with regard to the issue of the ID, where I see it, I'm quite satisfied that these amendments are watertight, are approved, are okay, and they give us a point or a direction where we can then, because there is clear alignment with all other legislation as well. We are at a point where I'm satisfied that we can then accept it, and move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dodobo. Honorable Mbosi.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to your good self and the members present in the meeting. Chair, I think what I wanted to raise, Honorable Dodobo has already raised. I wish to second Honorable Dodobo that we adopted this after the presentation made by the officials and the explanation. We are quite happy and we are sure that every matter that has been raised are covered and are well explained. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Seletu. I see your hand is up.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I think there is the issue of time, that, you know, we are pushed for time, you know, and listening to the other members of the committee saying that, you know, we adopt and everything, you know, and it's worrisome, because now it seems like we have to do things today, you know, as much as some of the issues have been dealt with last week, but this morning before our meeting, there was some amendments done in terms of the proposals that we were not given time to consider as a committee, so that we can actually debate it, you know, Chair. Because what is important, Chair, is that as much as one would want to safeguard personal information, but also someone must not also, you know, try to give someone a right and take away another one's right. So for political parties to make sure that the voters' rolls that are going to be used on election day, how are we going to make sure that there is no manipulation of information, that there is no duplication of ID numbers if political parties are not given the voters' roll that consists of all the digits of ID numbers. And Chair, I don't want us to rush on this particular bill, you know, because this is a very important bill, because this bill can actually affect the credibility of our elections. And a lot of people have interest in how we run our election. We are a young democracy, and we must make sure that we safeguard our election. Hence, I'm asking that let us not rush things. You know, let us apply our mind. Let us be given time to look, you know, so that we can, you know, make informed decision before we can actually say and reach common ground, Chair, so that we make sure that we move together as a committee, not for member to say, you know, you know, it was like someone has been given a directive. You just go and you just vote, you know. And Chair, that's my plea. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Soletu. But I think you should not talk on behalf of members. If you have a view, please put your view forward. But don't assume you know what they think, or honorable members on this platform know what they think. Anyway, let me, Honorable Mcheka.
Yes, Chair. I'm sorry, I won't show my video, but I think we must not mix issues. The only addition that has been done today is also issues that we raised last time. It's just that it had to concrete the bill. I therefore, Chair, also in line that there's nothing fundamentally really that has been brought in as a new issue today. It's just the issue of the accuracy that is it has been explained, and the issue of the voters' roll distribution. That's all, Chair. I don't think there are fundamental matters. Therefore, Chair, I'm one of I also fall in line to those that want to move and support the bill.
Is it me or?
Honorable Ngwezi, are you talking to, are you addressing us?
Yes, Honorable Chair. Chair, I don't know, because if there is no pressure, you know, in terms of time, I would want to propose something different. And I know how it works, because there's already a proposal that has been seconded. But, you know, at times where we want to go now, sometimes disadvantages other members. And then it's like maybe we're having battles in actually supporting or not, because I myself would want to actually support the bill. But, you know, I have a problem also when I only saw this thing now in the morning, you know, because the views put forward here, or my views that I'm putting here, have got no party mandate except for what I only heard now. And because I understand the policy of the party, issues of my constituents and so on, you know. So I would also wanted to propose that if there is no pressure behind us, and without, you know, going to where we might go now, we actually maybe give it a day or two. We can even meet on Friday, because at least now we know to specifically deal with the matter that has already been supported now. So that if we have other issues, then we have a platform to raise them. Those issues are then clarified. And then we go to where we are actually supposed to go now. That meeting, I think, can take about less than 10 minutes. And then we adopt the bill. There is no reason why we shouldn't adopt the bill. But I think it's very important also to be afforded time. Because to me, it would appear that maybe other members got this information maybe yesterday. As little as it may be, but it is possible that if members say, no, there's only one issue that has been clarified now, even that one issue, is it procedural that we get that one issue, 30 minutes before the meeting? I don't think that is actually procedural. Thank you, Chair.
Ramon, that's why it was presented in the meeting. But see that as it may, Arvon Kosi?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think the concern that is raised by Honorable Mbezi, it's understandable, but it's unfortunate, Chair, because this bill was presented in our last select committee meeting where he was not in the meeting. Therefore, I don't think that it will be proper that we say we take this matter back because he was not in the meeting at that time. We have deliberated in the bill last week, or I'm not sure when was it, but it was in our last meeting. So secondly, Chair, I think what is said by Honorable Selekwe is uncalled for. He can't say we are here in the meeting. Maybe we were given a directive that says we must go and vote, therefore we are voting. It's not like that. I think that one is uncalled for. All of us, we were here, and the matters that were raised, that were concerned to the members, all of them are addressed now and are well explained. Therefore, we are still maintaining that. Let us adopt the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Honorable
Michalaki.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I am very sincerely frustrated with the manner in which we process bills. We are, in essence, lawmakers. We have a constitutional duty to ensure that legislation that passes through our committee and through our House are sincerely believed to be the best possible version of a bill to achieve the objectives that we set out to achieve with it. I'm not personally convinced that this is the best version of the bill, but I haven't had a chance to properly debate it with fellow members of the committee, except by posing questions to the IEC and the state law advisor. And my frustration stems from this, that it sometimes feels like we're all too happy to accept the recommendations that the state law advisor or the IEC or the departments put on the table. But we as a committee don't explore actually debating amongst ourselves whether what we are passing is actually the best possible version of a bill. So Chairperson, I would still recommend, as I did earlier, that we set aside time, we have time, set aside time as the committee to discuss this. But if the committee feels that it does not want to consider and apply their minds to this bill, I would then just like to propose that we insert in the report, in terms of Rule 2112F of the NCOP rules, that we set aside time when we consider in the House the bill, that we set aside time for a debate on the bill, a short debate, so that this discussion can happen in terms of that rule that I referred you to, in a manner that is actually properly considered. That would be my first request, that we include that in the report. And my second point, because I don't know whether I'm going to be afforded an opportunity to indicate this, but as the bill currently stands, I myself cannot vote for it, and I would like, when the time comes, for my objection to it to also be noted in the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mikalakis. Honourable Bartley?
Yes, Honourable Chair, I will also be in fully support of Honourable Nkosi to adopt the bill and support it, because really we had a lot of time to discuss these issues, and for the mere fact that we still have a lot of work to do, I don't think we'll have time to go to another meeting and discuss it. I don't have a problem with what the other member said, but I will not also repeat what Comrade, Honourable Seleko said, but I think we must accept this bill. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Sister.
Thank you, Chair. I herewith also want to say it's not of the fact that what people said or at this committee, but about the reality that we face outside and maybe court cases and constitutional court cases that will appear from this. We have a big responsibility to see that this legislation will comply within all the aspects that is needed. And therefore, I will also want support Honourable Mikalakis, and I will also want to say that I will vote against this bill. Thank you.
Honourable Dizovo.
Yeah, thank you very much once more, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I think we need to be truthful to one another. This engagement about the bill and the amendments thereof are not coming here for the first time today. This is the third session with both the IEC, the department and parliament in respect of this. The first meeting when we discussed this, we even had to postpone the meeting because we were not satisfied about the alignment between the process of the IEC and the process of Parliament, even in respect of the question, the comments that we received from the members of public. That in itself demonstrated our unflinching commitment to ensure that we are thorough in what we are doing. Now, I don't understand this. I don't understand that we are now suddenly bringing our own party political interest to an extent that we undermine how other people think, undermine our intelligence as to how we engage on this particular issue. I think this is unacceptable, because clearly I will also say the same thing about other political parties, that they are also carrying their own mandate of rejecting this process, of frustrating it. We are pressured by time. As legislators, we've got a responsibility to help the IEC, to help all other agencies that are going to be responsible for the elections, to complete their work, to ensure that we are ready in terms of the local government elections if they are going to be held this year. It cannot be us, and we must not use some tactics that are not understandable to frustrate these processes. I think we have made a proposal. This is a firm proposal because we have interrogated all the issues in a very, very substantive way, and we think that we need to decide on this. We need to resolve this. We know what we're doing. We know what we're saying. We have asked pertinent questions about this particular bill, and therefore our intelligence must not be undermined as if we're thinking for other people, or we are subcontracting our thinking, or we are outsourcing. We are not doing that. We know what we are doing. And in that sense, I move and second and support all the people, all members of parliament who say we must adopt it and follow the normal processes. This is not the first bill that we are engaging as this committee. We have, throughout since 2019, we have undertaken a series of bills. And my view is that we must follow the same process that we followed with regard in respect of all other bills in terms of taking them to Parliament. And I'm going to sincerely implore on you, Chair, to fast track this particular process. It must go to Parliament, so that Parliament must decide on it, because we believe that all the processes that impinge on legality, on constitutionality, on lawfulness have been taken care of, in terms of our deliberations and in terms of considering the amendments which were presented to us today. And therefore, I support that we must finalize this particular process now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dodovo. Honorable Zandamala, your hand is up. Honorable Zandamala?
No, thanks, Chair. It was just a concern on my side that if as a committee there are things that we raise in the committee or maybe members that they didn't get clarity or it's not clear, explanations were not clear to them, we should every time subject ourselves that things must go to parliament, and then as if we are now taking the route of we have to vote against with regard to any other bill that comes to the committee. We are in a committee, in this committee, so that we have to get clarity and we are all satisfied about everything that is presented to us. It's just a concern. I think I support, I don't know who was raising the issue of maybe we should get time as a committee and deliberate. I think it's one of the things that we should also consider. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Zandamala. Honorable Mteta.
Thanks, Chair. I'm getting confused now. What is this thing called time? Because we were given the document. We even postponed our meeting just to start. Is it because of the three issues that have been added up today, or is your members want to us to start afresh the whole thing? I don't understand, Chair. Today we need to approve the bid and go forward, Chair. I don't understand this issue of time. What time do we have? Because we don't have time. This matter has been presented to us more than three times. What is it that members, the other members, are looking for? And anyway, Chair, when can you tell me when these members as well have agreed, this committee has agreed in every bill that has presented? We have always have some differences, but we move forward, Chair. I think I suggest that let's move forward, Chair, and do the process and vote if we need to vote.
Thank you, Honorable Teto. You'll be the last.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm not going to dwell or deal with what members have said in terms of my utterances or my views in terms of this. I as Mbulelo Silegu, I really view this bill as very important. And when we are dealing with issues that is very important, you cannot come to a platform of a committee that say we are pressed for time. So you are actually saying indirectly to us as members of the committee that because of time, we have to do things. So we don't apply our mind because we are pressed for time. And Chair, we have dealt with very, very, difficult and technical bills, and we even took longer because the only interest that we had as a committee was to make sure that we bring a bill that is going to assist the country. And if there are members that have some few concerns, about a particular bill, those members should not be suppressed. They should not be suppressed because there is no directive that says you must have so many meetings and then you can deal on the bill. Because it's a very important bill and we cannot allow time because there's going to be local government elections. Now we need to do this thing and Chair. No, Chair, I totally disagree with those sentiments. Thank you very much. And if it comes to push that we have to agree on this particular bill today, then I would love to write to raise and record my objection to this particular bill. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Seletu. Yeah, thank you, Honorable Members. I think I've noted all the views. But just to put certain facts on the matter, because Honorable Members, we've dealt with urgent bills in the past as well. And this is also an urgent bill. And it's also a very important bill, Honorable Seletu, to all of us as members of this committee. But I think in terms of the discussions that have been taking place over the past few engagements on this call, there have been consistent positions by certain members, but I don't think we should belabor the point, honorable members. These issues have been raised. They've been part of our discussion. Today, we've allowed further engagement and discussion, and ordinarily, we don't normally do that. But we did that in the interest of also ensuring that members understand, you know, the issues at hand. And interesting enough, the discussion that is coming forth, it's sort of repetitive of what has also been coming up in the previous meeting. But as I was saying, you know, honourable members, you and honourable Philippi, you can't assume members are not applying their minds. We've been applying our minds on each and every call that has come to this committee. And we're considering matters like constitutional provisions. We're looking at competing rights. We're also looking at alignment of legislation. And we've been considering these things. And it's not fair to say that we actually don't know what we are doing. But we do know what we are doing. And we have processed quite a few goals in this committee. And true enough, what Honorable Mthethwa said, it's not always that we have agreed on certain legislation. But given the deliberations of members, it is clear that majority of members are of the view that we should move forward in terms of this process. Honorable members, there are two amendments to this bill. It is in terms of clause 8 and clause 20. So I'm going to go clause by clause, honorable members, for the adoption of the clauses. We'll start with clause 8. If I can get a mover for the adoption. Honorable Mthethwa?
I move.
Honorable Bartlett?
I move, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Bartlett moves for the adoption. A seconder?
I support, Chair. Honorable Nkosi.
Okay, are there any objections?
Chairperson, I object. I object, Chair.
Okay, the DA objects. Any other objection?
Sala. Chair.
Honorable Mwezi?
I'm not objecting. I'm rather abstaining in this
point. Okay, I'm still getting to abstention, but it's fine. I'll just note your abstention. Okay, any abstentions in addition to Honorable Mwezi? Okay, there are none. I think honorable members, the clause is duly adopted. If we can then move on to the clause 20. If I can get a mover for the adoption of the clause.
So don't be honorable chair. I will move that we adopt the clause. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable
chair.
Honorable Mthethwa. Any objection?
The DA objects to.
Okay. Any abstention?
Inkatha abstains.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. I think the clauses are duly adopted. Okay, I can hear. Is that Zanamela? Honorable Zanamela? I don't know if it's just me, but can members hear him?
No, we can't hear Dodov. Honorable Dodov.
Is it Dodov or Zanamela?
It's Honorable Dodov.
Okay, Honorable Dodov, can you mute, please? Unless you have something to say. And Honorable Sister as well. Okay, thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, but given that this is also quite an urgent goal, I think we'll then deal with the committee report. I'm going to ask Gershwin to flag it for us. Gershwin?
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Chair. Chairperson?
Honorable
I'm sorry to delay you to get to this point, but I wanted to request that your office emails me the complete bill. That's what was presented, because I don't have that. If that can be emailed to me as soon as possible, or even today, with these amendments. Okay, without amendments first and with these amendments. That has been done today. Thank you.
No, sure, Honorable Ngwezi. I think we'll send you the entire package, given that this is your first meeting with the committee. We'll ensure that you get the package. Okay. Okay, Gershwin, thanks. Our members, in terms of the draft report, can you go down, please, Gershwin? In terms of the background, just give the background in terms of what people aims to amend. The one being the Electoral Commission Act 1996, the other the Electoral Act 1998. Can you go down to the session? The Local Government Municipal Electoral Act 2000 as well. Those are the three pieces of legislation. The second point goes into the objective of the bill, which is to enhance existing legislative mechanisms that ensure free and fair elections in accordance with the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, to provide legislative authorization for innovations in elective practice in keeping with best practice to improve the Commission's efficiency in managing elections, and thirdly, to align the Electoral Act with the provisions of the Protection of Personal Information Act regarding the protection of the personal information of voters. Can you go down, please? In terms of our public participation process and committee deliberation, the bill was referred to the committee on the 3rd of December 2020, and we were briefed by the IEC on the 8th of December on the bill. Please go down. The bill was advertised in all 11 official languages in both national and regional newspapers from the 14th of January to the 29th. We received 1,550 individual submissions from the Geo South Africa website, as well as 5 submissions from other stakeholders. And the main issues that were raised by the stakeholders were in relation to clauses 8, 9, 13, 14, and 20 of the book. And the list of stakeholders that made the submissions were the following organizations: the Geo South Africa, Patriotic Movement SA, the City of Cape Town Metropolitan Municipality, and Mabungani Center for Investigative Journalism, 70s Group, and Mr. Volhutter. Okay. We also received submissions from individuals, about 1,550 submissions to the Geo South Africa website, of which 1,300 were against the bill, 26 were in favor, and 200 were not fully in favor, although they did not provide reasons. On the 17th of February, the IEC responded to the summary of submissions, having received advice from the information regulator, and to ensure that the bill was in line with the provisions of the Protection of Personal Information Act. They tabled proposed amendments on the bill, and the committee agreed to the proposed amendments emanating from the written submissions, and this was in our previous meeting. However, in terms of today's meeting, the report will reflect that we further deliberated and considered the amendments on the bill, and the 12-by-12 deliberations were conducted and the bill was finalized. However, Gershwin, you need to also add that clause, the support, the objections, and the abstentions in terms of clause 8 and clause 20. Then in terms of the recommendation, we're saying that having considered the electoral laws amendment bill referred to us and certified by the joint JTM of the section 75-4, namely the electoral amendment bill, we're making proposed amendments for the council's consideration. This is section 75-4, In essence, our recommendations will then go to the National Assembly. But in terms of the report, this would be our report that would go to the House, and the proposed amendments will be attached to the report. Are there any additions from honourable members?
Yes, Chair.
Honourable Nicolato.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would just like to ask that the DA's dissenting view be recorded in the report, as is the usual practice, please. And then, Chairperson, I at an earlier stage mentioned that I would like for us to include in the report that we request, in terms of Rule 2112F, a debate in the House. If we can include that in the report, I would be willing to support. Thank you. To support the report, to be clear.
Okay. I think in terms of your dissenting view, that is normal practice. I think in terms of whether we need a debate, it's another matter. But essentially, we do statements in the House, and all parties have an opportunity to also do those statements. Honourable Nicolaitis, honourable members, do you have any views on this matter? Honourable
Fetzer? I'm struggling with connection. I support Honourable Michelle Akisi.
Hello, Honourable Members.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
Honourable
Fetzer? I said I support Honourable Michelle Akisi.
Can I get the views of other members, please? Honourable Members, Honourable Dodovo?
Honourable Chair, Honourable Silegu.
Honourable Silegu, I don't see your hand. I'm not seeing anyone's hand.
Yeah. No, Chair, and I don't think that the inclusion of Rule 211-2F, would do any harm. That let us debate this bill, when it comes to the House. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Dodovo.
There is not much I keep on cutting on and apologize for that, Honorable Chair. All that I'm saying is that I support the report.
Okay, are we dealing with the matter? Honorable Dodovo, there's amendment that the DA has proposed that we debate in terms of Rule 211-2F. Ordinarily, we do statements in the House, and political parties do that as well. This is a Section 75 call. Honourable Dodovo, we're not yet at the point of adopting the call.
Sir, can you hear me? No.
Yes, we can hear you, Honourable Dodovo, but can you hear us?
No, I was saying that of the many, many bills that we engaged in, that we processed as the committee, and a bill that we submitted to Parliament in a normal, proper procedure of Parliament. I don't understand this sudden brinkmanship of playing to the gallery, of doing this and that. I think the PA, like all other parties, have got a right when this bill is presented to Parliament to can make a declaration and express their view on the debate. And normally, as we all are aware, they will be given some time to can present whatever views that they want to present on the piece. My view is that let us follow the normal process that we will starting about this piece. It's an important piece of legislation, but it's starting to execute that forces us that sudden. We must have some debate on this chair. I suggest that we follow the normal process that we always follow in Parliament processes. And any part of Parliament will be afforded an opportunity to make some changes.
Thank you, Honourable Dodovo. Honourable Are you with me? Can you hear me?
You can hear me, Chair.
Okay, on the Butler.
Yeah, we can hear you, Chair.
Okay. I wonder if you, the honourable members. Honourable Nkosi.
Chairperson, thank you so much. I would like to align myself with Honorable Totov that let us follow the processes that we used to follow when we deal with this report. Thank you.
Okay,
I agree with that. No, I said we agree with that. I'm not sure what's wrong. Can you hear me clearly? Because I was struggling, but we agree with Honorable Totov. Yes. Okay.
Honorable Zandamela.
Yes, Chair.
If I can get your view, please.
Come again, Chair.
Do you have a view on the matter, Honorable Zandamela?
Do I have what, Chair? I can't hear you clearly.
I said in terms, the DA, Honorable Michalaki, is proposing that we have a debate on this bill. Ordinarily, we take the bill to the House and we do statements and declarations in the NCFP and various party political positions to come through in terms of the declaration. So there's a view on the one hand that we must do a debate, there's a view on the other hand that we should just not follow the normal procedures that we normally do.
Yeah, look, we raised our concern, Chair. And I think based on what I said earlier on, I think we still maintain what we said with regard to the position, our position. Okay, so you'll give guidance. Yeah.
All right.
Honorable
Mwezi. Okay, Honourable Members, then I think in terms of the report, we will note the dissenting view of the DA. However, the other recommendation about the debate, we would rather go to the default position of being statements in the House, and the DA, like any other political party, would also do their declaration on the matter. I think given that, Honourable Members, can I get a mover for the adoption of the report?
I move, Chair. I move, Honorable Chair. Yes.
Honorable Nkosi? Honorable Nkosi, are you... Hello? Can you hear me? We can't hear Honorable Nkosi. Any other honorable?
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to support Honorable Nkosi.
Honorable Chair?
Honorable Chair?
I don't know who's Honorable Nkosi.
Honorable Chair?
We can hear you, ma'am.
Yes, I'm saying I wanted to move for the adoption. Now that Honorable Bartlett has moved, I support Honorable Bartlett. Thank you for the mover. For the adoption of the report. Yes, I'm seconding the adoption of the report. Thank you.
Are there any objections?
Yes, Chairperson, in light of the fact that the ANC members are scared of a debate, I cannot vote in favor of the report.
That's out of order.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like if nobody's afraid of anything.
Nobody's afraid, Chair.
That's
no.
Also debatable, Chair, but I'll leave it at that.
No. You can't say that, Chair.
Objections, Honorable Michalakis, are there any abstentions on the report?
The Chair, my hand, can I just?
Can I say the DA objects?
Yeah, the DA objects and the ANC
doesn't want to. Is also up. But Tileto, I never see your hand up. I just hear you speaking.
No, you don't want a debate, Chair. It's okay, but we object.
No, it's out of...
No one's afraid of a debate, Honorable Tileto.
Let's do it then.
You probably have your reasons why you want to debate, but that's your view. There are other views that are being put forward as well, and I think we need to respect that too. Okay, if there are no extensions, then honourable members, I think the report is then duly adopted. Let me thank you, honourable members, for your time that you made for this meeting and for your participation in this meeting. I think we will then take processes forward as agreed in terms of this meeting and move ahead with this call. Let me then take this opportunity to thank the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, the Office of the State Law Advisor, honourable members and the IEC for their contributions to this process and to this call. And and let me then declare this meeting closed. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Malibongwe, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.